Very simple message this morning, and we're going to move around a little bit. I want you to see, first of all, Numbers chapter 1. My wife and I were talking last night, and something she said reminded me of this verse, Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Where did he speak? In the wilderness. And then it says what? Or we're not reading, are we? What? Huh? What does it say? Moses in the wilderness, in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle. Where did God speak? In the tabernacle. How about today? Where does he speak? In the church. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He speaks in the church. Now, what does it say? In the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, and then he gives them the direction. Now go back to Leviticus with me, please. Chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle. Tabernacle is built in Numbers, in Leviticus, and in the book of Numbers, in the sense that it exists. And what is a tabernacle? Bird's eye view up on the screen. Bird's eye view is a fence around the holy place and the holy of holies. Bird's eye view. We have the altar where they burn and sacrifice the animals, wash, they go in, worship, and then once a year, the high priest goes all the way in, all the way in. And God is speaking in the tabernacle. Now go back further now for our, go to Exodus 25. This will relate, I believe we'll have a good sermon here this morning and say a few things. Exodus 25, the directions on building the tabernacle. If you flip 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, those are all building instructions. Those are definitions on the size, the architectural design, the clothes of the priests, the oil, the headgear, all of the details for the layout for the tabernacle. Why should the tabernacle be built? Because it's there where God will speak to the people. Why is the tabernacle important? Because there is a nation that is camping around it. Anybody know the diameter here of the 2 million people that are camped in the wilderness? Anybody know where Bel Air, Maryland is? From here to Bel Air, Maryland is the diameter of the camp. It's a huge number of people. It's a big city without indoor plumbing, you know, without crops and food and military equipment and order. And what's in the middle of this city is the tabernacle. It's where God meets the people. So we have a diameter of approximately 25 miles. And in the middle of it is a relatively small tent. The curtains open ceiling for that part, and then the more sacred part has a ceiling to it. And it's there where God is going to meet and speak to the people. Okay, now, chapter 31 is an interesting chapter in Exodus 31. This is, we'll be getting to our point in a minute. Look at Exodus 31 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. What is he supposed to do? But build this tabernacle. And he has to figure it out. The plans are like so, but it takes a man of understanding to read the plans and actually make it happen. It's one thing, you know how it is, to get the instructions. Another thing, to put the IKEA furniture together backwards, okay? You need some understanding. If you got the instructions, but it's possible. So there's two names given here. This Bezalel is one of them, and he was cutting stones. He could work with gold and silver and brass, in verses 4 and 5. And then 6, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil. If you went down, this is chapter, the anointing oil is described in chapter 30. Sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I've commanded. There you go. So there is a building, and I wonder how much time it would take to build it, and how many people would be needed. Because you've got gold, you have to melt the gold they brought out of Egypt by jewelry, earrings, and they would have to fashion it and plate wood, pieces of wood with gold and silver and brass. It was a real project, but this was what God wanted done. And from this place, God would speak and guide these people and give direction. Okay, that's point number one. It is the foundation for God's work and blessing in our lives. The foundation, there's a little story about a man who had to hang him. He was a short guy, and he had to hang a picture for his wife. So they put a chair there. It wasn't high enough, so they had to put a box there. Then he climbs up, and still he couldn't reach where he had to put a nail. So they put a stool on the box. And so he's up there, and you know how it is. He's up there just tapping, and she said, can't hit it harder. He said, I can hit it harder when my foundation is so unstable. Right? I can't. Hit it harder. The Quakers in this country were abolitionists. They were against slavery. They were passionately against it. They went at it. They did the Underground Railroad and how slaves could go. They could trust the Quakers and any other Christian that had some sense that that was wrong. That was wrong. Today we would say they're intolerant. Wow, what a theme that is. Let's drop that one. Hey, I can't hit this thing without a good foundation. And the Jews needed in the wilderness a tabernacle. And they needed men to know how to build it. And they needed patience to see it happen. And they needed something that was going to really establish them as a nation. And it would be God doing it His way. Amen. The roots and the foundation of our faith is big. It's a great theme. Now, chapter 32, verse 1. The people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought up us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. This is interesting. Let's say it this way. Here's up on the screen. There's the instruction from God, and there's time. And he wants to build a tabernacle. But we don't see any tabernacle. We don't have it. What are the people thinking? They're here. The people are thinking, we don't have time. We need gods. What do you mean, gods? We need gods. We need to see them, handle them. We need gods. We are out in this wilderness, and we don't know what is going on. Moses has disappeared. He is 40 days. He's out of sight. What do you expect us to do? We don't have any. We don't have anything. What about the foundation? The foundation that it was God, that we didn't see God, that brought us out of Egypt. And that was absolutely, profoundly miraculous. When they came out of Egypt, there was a wall of water and a wall of water and dry ground, stepping over crabs and fish and walking through. And they got to the other side, and they could say to each other, as the bodies of the Egyptians, this is Exodus 14, the bodies of the Egyptian army washed up on shore, and for 3 days they were totally amazed at what had happened. They came out of Egypt by the power and the mighty hand of God, and they knew it. But now they're saying something different. Because time affects people. Time, it changes people. Time disappoints people. Time is something we all wrestle with. We don't have time. We don't have time. Moses is gone. We don't have time. And we say, wait a minute. What's our foundation? Our foundation is on God, who we cannot see him. When we came out of Egypt, we didn't see any God leading us out of Egypt. We just were following Moses. And Moses said, God, that you cannot see. God, the invisible God, the mighty God, that's the God. Now look at the next verse, verse 2. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made the molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods. Listen, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Wow. That is amazing. Look at who brought us out of Egypt. Look up at our screen here, if you can see it. Who brought us up out of Egypt? The gods, the golden calves, brought us out of Egypt. Wait a minute. You're kidding me. How did they get in the picture? Golden calves brought us up out of Egypt? Where'd that come from? Listen, there is a plan to build a tabernacle. They don't have it yet. And they have a priesthood. And they have men anointed men of God who know what to do. And it will be built, and God will speak from the tabernacle. But you are rushing. You are moving under another influence. How can you think like this? That golden calves, there wasn't any golden calf when they came out of Egypt. They ate the lamb. What else did they do? They ate the unleavened bread. They put the blood on the doorpost. They lived through that night. They left Egypt in the strength of the meat of the lamb. And they walked, and there was no golden calf that brought them out of Egypt. Beware of substituting for God. Beware of misreading life. This is our message today. God is doing something. Be patient. God is with you, and there is a good foundation for the next step that we want to mention, and then the third one. Because there are three problems in this picture of the golden calves. There's three problems in the lives of these people. There's three things that they're going to, that's messed up in their lives. There's three things that the other people, Moses and his team, Moses and the Spirit of God has three elements in life that are rock solid, that change my life and are affecting your life and mine. Time magazine has a horrendous edition, a sad whole issue of the opioid addiction in America. And I just looked through it and just got depressed, like immediately. I am so sad. I am so heartbroken for these people. I am so sad for what the world is. I mean, I love the world. I love life. I'm rich in life. I want you to understand that clearly about us and our ministry. I love going for a walk. I love living clean. I love reading things. I love talking to body members. We were in Poland, imagine, Warsaw, with about 1,000 people rejoicing in Christ. And we're saying, yeah, Jesus is speaking to us. Hallelujah. Wow. I love picking apples or going for a ride. I love swimming and all that stuff. I love life. I love eating good food. My mother always says to me on the phone, have you eaten anything good lately? And I, you know, embellish it a little bit. I went to a French restaurant, and I did. A friend, and ooh, it was so good. She liked to hear about it. You know, she's 96 years old, you know, so she, you know, tell me something good. Okay, I love life, and we love life, but we also see what we're talking about here and how this is crazy. Look at verse chapter 32. And verse 7. Lord said unto Moses, go, get down, for the people which you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. What's it mean, quickly? Means we don't have time. 40 days to God. As for that, it took them 40 days, and it wasn't even that long. They just turned aside. And verse 8, they have made them a molten calf, have worshipped it, have sacrificed unto it, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. If I was God, I'd be ripping mad. Huh? And he was. He was. Are you kidding me? They did it? The golden calf? Was there one or two? There's one. This is the one that brought. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you realize what I have done for you? Are you kidding me? Are you giving the credit to him or her or that thing or this thing? Do you realize what I have done for you? There it is. That's it. So then they start partying. And where is this? In 32:25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among the. What's up with Aaron? What's up with this guy? What's going on? Aaron, here's Moses, and here's Aaron, his brother, and he's the high priest. And he does real well when Moses is around. But when Moses is gone, Aaron caves. Aaron doesn't have it. Aaron doesn't have the gift. Aaron buckles. Aaron's got, doesn't have it. Aaron, what's going on with Aaron? He can be led by the people. And pray for the leaders of any church or organization, because they can cave. I read recently about in Nazi Germany, the Brethren churches. In Nazi Germany, the Gestapo, the Nazis required that all the churches would be registered. And half of the Brethren churches said, we are not going to be registered. And the other half registered. But half said, we are not going to register. We are not into this. We'll go to prison. And they went to concentration camps, and they went to prison, and so on, if they took the stand. After the war, when they got back together, they had to forgive. They had to forgive each other. They had to, like, say, you know, to each group, whatever it was that happened. And, of course, all these things are complicated. But we are to love one another. We are to forgive each other. We are to endeavor for unity. Isn't that amazing? Well, in this story, we have a big party going on. Verse 25, is it? They were naked. Then Moses stood in the gate and said, who is on the Lord's side? Verse 26. Okay. I want to make a couple points about this, and I'd like to compare it to what you and I have in John 15. I don't want the message to be too long, but I just want to hit the points. And so let's go there. John chapter 15. And this will be our instruction. John 15. Three parts. First, foundation. The foundation for your life. I'll put here / the tabernacle had to be built. Tabernacle was the plan for the nation. The tabernacle. For us, our foundation is seen here as the vine, and we are the branches. The true vine of verse 1. I am the true vine. Christ is the reference for all of our lives. The vine. Christ is the source for our life. The real roots of our life is Christ, the foundation. Pastor Gary, the story about the man 28 years ago that stole the $50 out of his car, and calling him later, and then Pastor Gary mentioned to me just as I was over there that the man is a believer. He gives to missions, and he's like awesome. So what a beautiful story. You know, when I have a foundation, this is like the vine, and this is where my life is coming from. This is Christ's life. And this is it going to affect, number two, my love for you, and my love for my brother, my love for, look at chapter 15, and it says in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. I don't believe we can really love each other without also forgiving each other. And we can't really love each other and without a foundation. And it takes patience. Patience. Don't go run off and get a golden calf. Like, be patient. God is building the tabernacle. Don't take it in your own hands and say, I'm done, I'm finished. I tried this for a year and it didn't work for me, so I'm done. I got another God. We don't say that, but that's the idea. I live my own life. I got another God that brought me out of Egypt. No, you don't have another God that brought you out of Egypt. We don't have. No. We have God. And let's get into his plan and lose ours. We lose ours, and I don't have any backup plan. You don't have any backup plan except this one, the vine. The vine is the only plan I got. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But I've got the vine. And God is going to test my faith. But I got the vine, and I don't have any other. If I die, I die. But I don't have any other plan. I got the voice of God and the Spirit of God and the way of God. That's the way. And he said, love one another. When you build a golden calf, you cannot love one another. You will not get along. It will not work. Building a golden calf, there's no foundation. I will tap, you know, like I can just only tap. Dude, leave me alone. Don't. I'm ashamed. Lisa, don't touch the chair. Okay, I'm carefully living my life, tapping and saying, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to be marked as being different. I don't want to have a serious conviction. I don't want to have a foundation. This is all that I can do. Gently live through life, hoping nothing bad will happen. There is no passion there. There's no conviction. Francis Schaeffer, who started LaBrie Fellowship Community in Switzerland back in the 70s and 80s, was an amazing man. I love his writings and his way of seeing his convictions. Many things about him I enjoy. And one of the things that about him was, if it was true, he just grabbed it with all his heart. If it was true, you cannot take it away from me. If it is true, I'm going to live this way. I'm living this way. I believe this. I am passionate about it. It's like a great story. Many men and women of God through history that had this. And by the way, his little ministry there, let's see, it was, if I get the dates right. Okay, never mind, I'll drop that. Let's go to the next part. It goes, the third one is 18, and we'll finish. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Let's park there for a minute, put here the world. Hates you. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Why did he say this? Why did he? Because it's always good when you're going to get in trouble to know ahead of time, I'm going to get in trouble. Right? Like a military officer on a campaign, he has his troop in front of him, and he says, let me tell you, gentlemen, we are going to do the impossible in the next 2 days. Let me tell you also ahead of time, look to your right and left. Probably one-third of you will survive. Say goodbye now. It's going to be a disaster. You're going to give your lives for this. And we will fight to the end. And let me tell you ahead of time, 33% of you will survive. If I'm going to get in trouble, I like to know ahead of time, way before. And also, if I have a way out, let me know. Let me know if I can get out of this. You know, can I go on? I think I got a stomach ache. Okay? Listen, that should be the way it is in our lives, that we are recognizing that we are different, that our God is a different God, not the God of the Egyptians, not the golden calf, not somebody that we made up. We have a rock-solid foundation, the vine. And the vine says you need the foundation because of what's coming. And you need me, I need to know me. And I will lead you, but trust me, don't take it up in your own hands, have your own time frame and do it as you want to and try to escape what it is that is happening in this world. Because believe me, there is no way out except the cross. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm called you to myself. And these are the three things that the Jews with the golden calf didn't have. They had the golden calf, and the next day they could have a golden serpent. And the next day they could have a golden snail and another golden thing. And they just have a bunch of junk. And they can't love each other, and they cannot do battle in a world that is evil. They'll say, Nazi Germany, a great, great success story. By the way, Time Magazine, I think 1938, front cover, man of the year was who? Adolf Hitler, man of the year. Okay. Well, it doesn't mean anything against Time Magazine. I'm just saying that the man was front and center. And it might be a lot of people were for him. Yeah. How do I know? what I'm for or against. The golden calf will tell me nothing. Nothing. Except what is in my own wicked heart I can do, and I can get naked if I want to. And I could kill a brother or do whatever because it's me. It's all garbage. And so, here we go. Let's end on a good note. I am so happy to be here. I am so glad that we have a foundation that's been proven through the centuries. I'm so thankful he gave the Holy Spirit and men and women of God who know how to build and say it the way it is. I love it when we have a foundation so then I can hit the nail hard. I can hit the nail hard. I got it. I'm solid. I'm right there. I can hit the nail hard and say, in your face, that's the way it is. That's the way to do it. That's how to get it done, because that's true. That's true. I don't care about any popularity contest. Huh? I mean, that's the thing. If the world hated me, it'll hate you. And there'll be a spirit in this world that'll be against what it is that we think and how we live and how our families are. Strangely enough, when you're living in the pig pen of the golden calf, you could look over and say, maybe they got it right. Maybe they got it right. You look over at Moses and the tabernacle, and by way of just, I'm embellishing the story, and it's not literally like that, but I'm saying there are people that are opioid addicts that are suffering, and they could look over and say, maybe you got it right. There are people that are troubled and hurting and confused, and we love them. Listen to me. Don't go against me or anybody else that is saying these things. We're not against each other. We have convictions about things. Don't get high and mighty about how, you know, we don't care about people. We're in the woods yesterday with our Midnight Express, plucking people out of homelessness and bringing jugs of milk and counseling people and caring about them and having an open ministry that's 7 days a week. This parking lot has cars in it. I'm thankful for it. But don't attack the brethren or anybody. And if people disagree, and in my heart, if I disagree with some church or their policy or something like this, I don't say much about it. I hit it at the most important level. That is, what is our foundation? Let's get it right. If we get it right, we'll love each other. And if we love each other, then there'll be a message. And then let the world be what it is. But it looks like it's going to hate us. Get used to it. And enjoy it. Because really, I don't have much respect for the crazy mindset that happens to me also when I get confused about things. But praise God, we don't have to live in that. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Okay, what is our prayer now? Father, these are meditations, and we have had just a great month, and actually years and decades, imperfect people, but glorifying you. And anyone here that's not a believer in you or listening on the internet, we invite you to come to Christ today. Come. There is no one else to turn to. No one else. He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, who with his own blood purchased of our sins, upholding all things by the word of his power, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. Come to him and say, Jesus, in your heart, say it to him. He washes your sin away and gives you eternal life and a fellowship with God, the living God. Thank you, Lord. then, Father, for the church and as a whole, for all of us, establish us in this great foundation. May we love each other fervently and live in a world that in itself has so many voices, so many ideas, so many thoughts, and help us live in it and not be of it, but to live in it and enjoy you in it with love in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.